This morning we come to this chapter 10 of Acts, and for those of you who may have read this chapter, this concerns the conversion of this centurion, a Roman officer by the name of Cornelius. And I think it is also safe to say that not only for him, but also for perhaps even for his family, as we are told in verse 24, that he brought also together his kinsmen and near friends to hear what Peter said to them. And so this marks the beginning of God opening the gospel door of salvation going to the Gentiles. And perhaps Cornelius and his family were the first recipient. I shall leave it to you to read the rest of the chapter. And in fact, this the conversion account goes from chapter 10 right up to chapter 11, verse 18, or rather verse 17. Yeah, verse 18. And so, for our meditation this morning, I draw your attention to verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." At our first reading of this, of Peter's expression, it may seem normal. It may seem it's just his an expression from his heart. But I suggest that this is a very unusual expression from an apostle. Peter, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One Bible commentator or pastor by the name of Dr. G. Graham Strugel, who held pastorates in London and in Halifax and in Sunderland and Edinburgh, and also the famous Spurgeon's Tabernacle in London, and he commented on this verse, and he said, "You can say no and you can say Lord, but you cannot say no Lord. If Christ is truly our Lord, then we can only say yes to him and obey his commands." Even though Peter's refusal was in the most polite terms, it is still wrong. The Apostle Peter, during his early days as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who have studied his about his life, the Apostle Peter, you will know that he is a man often very forthright in his speech and not very careful with his words. It seems that he had not grown out of this old habit of being quick with his tongue without much thought or care. Well, he meant well. His expression was not intended to convey all that we might assume of it to be or think of it to be. At any rate, it is not for us to judge him. Who are we that we should sit in the judgment seat on a saint and a servant of God? Besides, we ourselves, as we examine ourselves, we are not without fault, isn't it, ourselves, in the matter of our speech or our behavior. You and I oftentimes have said some very strange and unusual things or nasty things at others which ought not to be said. We have uttered exclamation that has been so bad that the Lord could not have accepted them if it had not been for His infinite mercy towards us. Our consideration of this strange expression of the Apostle Peter, "Not so, Lord," is to draw out some spiritual lessons for our learning, so that you and I, as Christian believers, we will be vigilant, watchful unto prayer over our hearts, so that we might not in any way sin or be a stumbling block to others, particularly to those who are outside of the kingdom of God, so that we may not shame the name of Christ. The first truth which we may easily learn is this: the presence of the old man in the Christian man. The presence of the old man, which is referring to the old nature, as Paul mentioned in Romans 7, that entire chapter on that old corruption that is still present in the regenerate man. Yes, albeit we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the life that is within us, the dominant life, is new and holy, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Yet, we must not forget, the old nature, the old corruption still remains. Though crucified, it is long in dying and struggles hard. Sin still dwells in us, the true believer. So that we painfully discover that though we are new men, new women in Christ Jesus, we are yet men. And though the grace of God reigns within us, yet there is this struggle, isn't it? Struggle for the kingdom, and the sin that dwells in us strives to be in control all the time. And we are renewed sinners, but we are sinners still, albeit saved by grace. Our hearts, our hands are cleansed by divine grace, yes, but they have a sad tendency to become defiled. Peter was Peter still. Peter is still Peter after the grace of God has renewed him. And I think we must say the same of ourselves who are true Christian believers. Though you are truly born in the Spirit, yet you are still a sinner saved by grace. The person is still the same person. He or she is greatly transformed by the Holy Spirit, no doubt, but he or she has not lost his or her identity. Whatever change has taken place in him, Peter is Peter. And I would like to suggest to you believers to recollect that. For perhaps you think, and some I know of Christians who think that way, that in the day when you were converted, you lost your old selves altogether. I can assure you, dear friends, if you are a true believer, that you do not. You do not. Your hasty temper, your sluggish condition, your perhaps lazy attitude, the gloomy tendency, or the fickle humor will still be there to be struggled with so long as you are here living on this side of eternity. So do not deceive yourself that as a born again believer, therefore you are a sinless person while on this side of eternity. Yes, you receive a new self, a better self, You are made a new creature in Christ, but the old self is still there. Your family members, your friends, or neighbors, particularly those who are closest to you, will be able to recognize you as you are. I dare say, they will know that it is the same you, because your weaknesses will crop up, if not your faults, and therefore, you and I must keep a watch upon ourselves as a Christian. It is true, as a genuine Christian, you are greatly changed or transformed. God has done wonders for you in your life. He has put a new heart within you, a new song in your mouth, but the inclination to evil is not dead yet. Your passions, your appetite, your desires are each one prone to overleap the boundary and transgress. The best of men, as you have heard this before, or even used this statement before, the best of men are men at the best. And Peter, after the Holy Ghost has fallen upon him, you read this in Scripture, and he has preached a very stirring, soul-winning sermon, is nevertheless bitter. And you can tell that he is the self-same person. The accent of his words still betrays him, isn't it? Next, note that Peter's expression reveals how easily and how readily he fell, not precisely into the same sin as before, but into the same kind of sin he did in the past. This Peter, though a chosen apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Not so, Lord," is he not the same man who in his brashness, in his arrogance, rebuked his master Jesus and said, "That be far from thee, Lord"? Was it not his impudence for which he was well rebuked when the Lord Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? This is the same man. The Lord Jesus was very sharp to detect Satan endeavoring to work through the zealous enthusiasm of Peter to tempt him to turn aside or away from the great work that Christ came to do. And so now we see him half rebuking the Lord again as he declines to kill and eat the creatures let down from heaven. Yes, Peter actually says, "No, not so, Lord." And may we plead for the Holy Spirit's help, those of us who are in Christ. May we plead and ask the Lord's help never to question, dear brethren, God's providence or disputing with his revealed word, lest we be taken in the same fault as Peter and receive a rebuke for rebuking our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read in Scripture anything that you may not understand, do not be quick to conclude that there is an error, but rather give yourself time and pray for a clearer light to shine so that you may come to a clearer or a deeper understanding of God's Word. There is yet another occasion where Peter flatly contradicted his master Jesus. And this particular occasion has definitely left an unforgettable mark in the hearts of Peter. I'm sure after that, he remembered it. And I suppose he remembered it for the rest of his life until the Lord took him home. When the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, this particular one here is concerning. He said, or rather Jesus said, all ye shall be offended because of me. Then Peter said what? Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus has just told him that he would deny him, and yet Peter declared that he should not. We may make all the excuses for Peter. We may even stand with Peter, so to speak. But at the same time, that was the way of Peter, and that is the part in which he was weak, vulnerable. He did this in his earlier days. But after the Holy Spirit had come upon him, and he had been baptized into the Spirit's power, and had risen into quite a superior spiritual condition from his old life, yet he still tripped in the same place where he used to fall. And he said, not so, Lord, as if he would again rebuke, refuse, and contradict his Lord Jesus. Therefore, I put it to you again, dear friends and Christian believers, be vigilant, be watchful, and watch unto prayer. What, and pay attention to this, what were your thoughts before conversion? Guard against them now, so that you will not fall back into your old ways and contradict and shame the name of your Savior. What have been your past failures and your weaknesses and your errors can very readily and easily surface or return to trick you and to rob you of the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus. Watch against them still. If you have now become an experienced or a matured Christian, and your graces have already greatly developed, and you have become exceedingly useful in the church of God, yet, beloved brethren, the points in which there is a weakness in you or in your natural constitution in which you have made failures are the points at which you must set a double guard of watching and praying lest you be led into temptation by those special features of your character. Once again, I cannot overemphasize the strength of this old man or this old nature in us, this old corruption in the heart of the believer. Be very alert, be very sharp. If anybody tells you that the old man is quite dead in your heart, you may say to him or her, nobody but the old devil could have set you on to whisper such a lie in my ear. The truth is not in you. Dear Christians, you and I know that inbred sin is our daily plague, our daily spiritual battle. It is a pandemic in the life of all truly born again Christian believers, which we have to constantly battle. And thank God, we are not without help. We have the enabling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit together with the Word of God. It is a fact past all question with our souls, with our hearts. We have no need to go many steps in our pilgrim journey before we painfully feel that the sins which we thought we had subdued and should never be subject to any more suddenly arouse themselves out of their graves and fight with us, or fight within us, as if they have never been conquered before. If we did not cry to God with tears and agony for hourly upholding us, we shall find ourselves falling into the same ditches into which we fell years ago. Be very careful, brethren. That point in which you feel that you are quite safe is the place where you lie most open to attack. I repeat, that point or that area in which you feel that you are quite safe, quite secure, is the place where you lie most open to attack. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:6. In humility and in meekness, acknowledge that you are weak as water. Your dream of perfection on this side of eternity is just a dream. But you are a mess of poverty and infirmities and conceits, and if it were not for the infinite mercy of God, who deals tenderly with you, and His restraining hand over you, you would soon fall into disgrace and to your own dishonor and to the grief of your family, your brethren around you. Peter is still Peter still, notwithstanding what grace has done in his life. Let us, brethren, cry to God and ask Him for help through His Holy Spirit to keep us in check, that we will not let our tongue work faster than our brain, that we will not be impudent, impatient, impulsive, hasty, for which we will have to repent of, lest we bring this rebuke to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and His church. However, I like to point this out to all of us as I learned it. There is a positive side to Peter's expression, "Not so, Lord." Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, could not have recorded this incident of the apostle Peter unless Peter himself had personally told him, for no one else knew of it. No one else knew of it. And in the next chapter, we find that when Peter was brought up before the other apostle for what he had done to Cornelius and his family and receiving them, he narrated the whole affair to them and confessed. And he even said, "But I said, not so, Lord." But this man is speaking from his heart. No hiding, no lying. He said exactly what he went through or experienced. So you see, Peter was always outspoken, honest, and clear as the day. There was a trace of pretense indeed in the past. But as a general rule, this former fisherman spoke what first came to his mind, and he had no manipulative intent in him. So in this sense, we can say it is something positive or something we can learn from him. So in this, let us be one with him, the man who blurts out his mind so that you know what he thinks may get himself into a lot of trouble. He gets himself into a lot of trouble for being frank and direct. But he does not get so many other people into trouble as the double-minded man would do. You see? And by the grace of God, it often happens that his directness, his sincerity and truthfulness work together to effect a great blessing in the midst of his brethren. In this positive sense, as I said, we ought to learn from Peter. I remember many years ago in my working life, there was a senior colleague when I was discussing with him concerning my attitude towards my work and all that. And he said this to me, which on reflection, I think it is very true. He said, "Your strong point is also your weak point." How true. How true. And so, brethren, may the Spirit of God sanctify our peculiarities that they may make us specially useful for the Lord, but save us from our constitutional infirmities that we may not be led into sin. Secondly, we move on. We come to the second lesson, which is this. The old man generally fight or war against God's law. Peter's word, "not so, Lord," applied to God's law or God or the gospel principles which has been put forth to him. As in this case, the abolition of the ceremonial law. Peter was to know that those ceremonial laws which forbade the eating of this and that were now to be abrogated by Christ coming on earth and putting on a human body yet without sin. He has taken away the ban from all forbidden meats so far as they were forbidden upon religious grounds. God has cleansed them, and what God has cleansed, Peter was not to call common. Peter at the first revolted from this, "I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Many to these days we've argued with God's gospel on ceremonial grounds. The scripture says that men are to be saved by faith, but the formalists say surely they must be regenerated in baptism. They must be further fed by the Blessed Eucharist. People who are evangelical in their hearts and who unwittingly preach the gospel nevertheless muddled it up with a number of outward ordinances, and they say practically to the Lord, "Not so, Lord." Ritualism is also practically battling against the gospel which lies in faith in Christ and not in ceremonies, which demand spiritual life and not external performances. All of us, let us be very careful. Let us not point an accusing finger at Peter. All of us are apt to err in this manner, for we are prone, is it not, to attach undue importance to matters which are proper and useful in their places, but which are by no means essential to salvation. Where the Lord Jesus has made no rule, we are not to make any. We are to receive all whom Christ received. None are unclean whom Christ has cleansed with his blood. None are to be set aside if Jesus admits them to his love and into his church. The main issue here in our text is concerning the equality of man before the law and under the gospel. Sadly, many Christians are offended and in effect say to the Lord Jesus, "Not so, Lord." In what aspect or in what sense? I suggest in situation when they encounter someone perhaps coming into our church, or perhaps they meet outside, when they encounter someone not properly dressed, perhaps loose character, and who smells, and what happened? You have many of these Christians are offended by these people. They either walk away or stand far away, or if they do come to our church, and then we will sit far away from this person. Truly, we cannot deny, it is true, that it is an instinct or a natural for us, or natural of cleanliness, to shrink away from the unwashed or the unkempt. But for those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have new life in Christ, ought to rejoice in the salvation of this down and out unclean person, so to speak, that smell, or be it they may be poor and down and out, for Jesus' sake, let us in humility put up with it and receive him or her in the love of Christ. Let us hold this person in high regard. Those who are common, unclean, whom Christ bought with his blood, so that we never look at them, despising them, belittle them, or disregard them. Never let us set up a tyranny of caste, as what they have in India, the caste system. Let us not set up that middle wall of partition, which our Savior died to throw down. God had made of one blood all nations of men. We sprung of the common parent, is it not? And for man there is but one Savior. Let every Christian believer be impartial and desire and pray that the Lord will put this in our hearts with equal earnestness. Desire the salvation of men and women, regardless of their social standing or their physical attributes. If you recollect the common parable, the parable of the prodigal son, what did the elder brother said to the father concerning the younger brother? As soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him that fatted lamb. Oh, this elder brother, he was angry, very angry, and we would not go in. He was a very excellent man indeed, dignified, very respectable person, and he was not going in with such tact and rag as this prodigal brother of his. He did not like so much this excitement made over this squanderer of his father's wealth. My friend, the proud decorum of the old man in us, it lies quietly in the recesses of our hearts. Whenever that disposition comes out in you, it is your corrupt part, the part that ought to die, and in this way it shows its enmity to the gospel of the grace of God. Let us, as Christian men and women, receive all classes of believers with joy. Otherwise, we shall be just getting where Peter was when he said, "Not so, Lord." For he said that he had not eaten anything common or unclean. And we say that we have not associated with any person living in a back slum. Let that be far away from us who are Christians. Brethren, there are many more ways where our old nature or the old man will show itself. Always fighting against God. "Not so, Lord," is often the cry of our unregenerate part. There are seasons when our old man fight against the gospel. In what area? In the great principle of free and sovereign grace. I know of this, of Christians who go through this. They war it within themselves when they are conscious of letting down their Savior, the Lord Jesus, when they fall into sin as a believer, and therefore they doubt the grace of God. And at once, the old man in them says to them, "You have sinned. And therefore you are out of God's favor. Jesus will cast you away. You are good for nothing and you will perish." Dear friends and dear brethren, you who are in Christ. When that comes against you, when Satan whispers that into your ears, gird up your loins and remember the word of the Lord. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them also glorified. Remember, Christ did not die for saints, but for sinners. He came not into this world because of our righteousness or anything good in us, but he died for our sins. And he rose for our resurrection. The work of God is not to save men deserving salvation, but men and women who are all together undeserving of it. Take that verse, brethren, 1 John 1:9, and use it repentantly before the throne of grace, and you will find forgiveness and renew in strength to go on living for your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, the last point I'd like to leave with you is the old man hinders the believer's usefulness. The old man hinders the believer's usefulness. The Apostle Peter's usefulness in the gospel, or the work of the gospel, and in his witness for Christ or of Christ, will be hindered and marked respectively if the Lord Jesus had not used this whole process by which to overcome Peter, when Peter said, "Not so, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Many Christians are of the same attitude as Peter. They will never do what has not been done, or learn what they have not learned. Many will only act as others act. They must keep in fashion. Let us not say, "Never, Lord, for I have never." But on the contrary, say without hesitation and without doubting, "Yes, Lord, I am ready to do your bidding. I will make haste and delay no longer to keep thy holy commandments." Let us pray, brethren, for the Holy Spirit to create in us a readiness, a submissive heart to do as we are told by the Lord. Propriety hinders many Christians. Decorum is to their detriment. If you are too precise, may the Lord set you on fire and burn away your bondage of red tape. If you have become so improperly proper that you cannot commit a proper impropriety, then pray to God to help you to be less proper. And there are many dying souls who will never be saved by your propriety. Although another hindrance to our usefulness for Christ is by our great dignity. I give you an example. Nebuchadnezzar declared very arrogantly, "This great Babylon that I have built." And you know, we have studied this. This same gentleman who afterwards, what? Ate grass like an oxen, and whose nails grew like bird's claws. We have sinned. Is it not true? Have you not sinned? We have sinned. Sinned what? We have sinned very, very great little people, and we have sinned very, very little great people who have given themselves so much airs. But nothing good come out of their greatness. You see, my dear friends, God seldom sends Elijah bread and meat by peacocks. Oh, brethren, love yourself less and less in that sense, and love the Lord Jesus more and more. love the soul of every man and woman, young and old, with all the intensity of your heart, filled with the love of Christ. Struggle and agonize in prayer to bring sinners to the Savior's feet, and God will help you. But if you stand on your dignity and say, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean," it will be a very serious injury to you and your testimony for Christ. Christian believers ought to pray the Holy Spirit to work this in our hearts and in our minds, to constantly remind us what? He must increase, I must decrease. John 3:30. May we so love our Lord Jesus that we die to self and care less for dignity, and we are willing to do nothing. Or rather, we are willing to be nothing for Christ's sake. Therefore, are there anyone here who have not yet believed in Jesus as your personal Savior? Are you truly a born-again believer? I hope you will, in humility, trust your soul with Christ at once. And when you have done so, come. Come without delay, my friend, and confess His name and be baptized into the sacred Trinity. Then you may join with the rest of the Christian believer to do what? To live as you like? No. To join with the rest of the Christian believer, striving with the help of the Holy Spirit to grow downward, lower and lower, till every believer sink into nothing, that Christ Jesus the Lord may be all in your heart. May the Lord help us.